Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasa Daf Lamed Dalet. We're holding somewhere on the top of Daf Lamed Dalet Amar Aleph. Today's year is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Alah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all return home safely. We are going to discuss today, we started to discuss yesterday, comparing a case where you have one aid that a guy was in the land for 3 years, but you don't have two aidim that he has a chazakah. He has one aid that he has a chazakah. So we wanted to compare that case to the famous case of Naska de Rabbi Abba. So we started to discuss what that case is exactly of Naska de Rabbi Abba. The Gemara ultimately we haven't yet explored what the connection is, but we'll see that soon. And the Gemara is ultimately going to reject that connection anyway. That takes up the entirety of Amud Aleph. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to bring a machlokas whether Beis Din honors a request of one of the Balei Din to hold on to the item until I can find a proper raya. Meaning, right now we don't have a raya in one direction or the other. So the Balei Din requests, instead of doing kol dolam gavar, which is the natural thing to do in such a situation, just please let Beis Din hold it. Let it stay in Beis Din until I have a little more time to come up with a raya. So machlokas, whether Beis Din honors such a request, and then there's a further machlokas, whether once Beis Din is toface, do they release an item that they're holding on to if in the absence of a raya, if no one ever brings such a raya, will they release that item or no? Once they're holding on to it, they're not allowed to release it until there is an absolute raya. And then the Gemara is going to get into the discussion starting at the very end of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, of Kol D'Olam Gavar, of what exactly the circumstances and the meaning of Kol D'Olam Gavar, that Beis Din is just sometimes going to say, you know, whoever is stronger is going to win this case. So let's backtrack a little bit to get back into the discussion that we're having, Hahu da Amar lechavre. Back on Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis, about 7 lines from the end of the page. Hahu da Amar lechavre. My bayis payara. Someone says to his friend, "What are you doing in my land?" So Amalei minach zventiv echad shnei chazaka. What do you mean? What am I doing here? I bought it from you, and I have 3 years of chazaka already with it. I see chad sahada dachlasatoshni. He was only able to find though one witness that he was there for 3 years and that he in fact has a chazaka. So savra ban kameda by lemeimer hainu naska de Rabbi Abba. So the rabban wanted to say, this is exactly like the case of naska de Rabbi Abba. It's not exactly like the case of naska de Rabbi Abba, but what they're trying to say is that the way to resolve this dispute, the way to deal with this case, is similar to the way we deal with the case of naska de Rabbi Abba. What is the case of naska de Rabbi Abba? So as we started to discuss yesterday, do gavr dechot of naska mechavre. One fellow went and grabbed a piece of silver from the other fellow. Asal kamed Rabbi Ami. So the nigzal came to Rabbi Ami to Adin Torah. He said, I don't understand what just happened. This guy came over to me, he just grabbed the silver out of my hand. Haviyasav Rabbi Abba kamein. Rabbi Abba was sitting there. Aiti chad sada demichtav chad faminei. And the nigzal was able to produce one aid that verified his story, that this guy in fact came and just grabbed this piece of silver out of his hand, but only one aid. So Amalei, the person who grabbed it, said, you know what? I don't deny it. In chatfi, v'didi chatfi. I absolutely did grab it. And the reason I grabbed it was because it was mine. It belongs to me. So Amar Rabbi Ami says, oh boy, heichin the dayani lahaydina. What on earth are the dayanim supposed to do in such a case? Meaning all of our normal options are not going to work. L'shalim, should we make the guy who grabbed it pay? Because after all, he was moda that he grabbed it. But like a treis adi, but we don't even have two witnesses against him that he grabbed it. If he had two aidim that he grabbed it, so even if he's screaming from today till tomorrow that what I grabbed was mine, we don't believe him. Meaning you have two witnesses that he took something, so we don't assume that he took his own item. We assume that whoever was holding on to it was the owner of the item, he would have to pay for it. But we don't have two witnesses, and if we don't have two witnesses, we cannot force him to pay. So what's our second option? Lift the resh. We just say, because of amigo that he could have said that he never grabbed it at all, so you should be neman to say that what he grabbed was actually his. But he doesn't have that migo that he could have said he didn't grab it at all, because ikachatzahada. There's one witness that says that he did grab it. So you don't have a miko anymore. Even if you would taina that he was that he never grabbed it, the aid would have at least been mechayiv him a shavua that he didn't grab it. The Ramban points out they have to say that the Toveah brought Edim that the Chotev still had it in his Rishus. Because otherwise, even if you had Edim, even if you had two Edim that he grabbed it, he'd be neman to say that it was his with amigo that he could have said, yes, I grabbed it, but I've since returned it. So it must be that we know that he hasn't since returned it. We see that he still has it in his possession, or we have Edim that he still has it in his possession. The Ramban, whoever says that, others disagree and say, no, you don't have to know that it's still in his possession. Last we knew it was in his possession. He was if you had Edim that he had grabbed it, then that's all we would have needed. But anyway, you can't potter him in this case because there's chad sahada. There's one witness that he in fact grabbed it. So you're not going to have a migo that he could have said that he didn't grab it, because he couldn't have said that. Had he said that, he would have had to take a shavua against that one aid. Oh, okay. So maybe we could explore that option. Lishtava, maybe we should make this guy take a shavua. After all, there's one aid that he grabbed it. So you have one aid against him. Let him take a shavua that he didn't grab it. No, he can't take a shavua that he didn't grab it, because he admitted that he did grab it. Ha'amar michtav chatfa. He said that I did take it. I took it away from the other guy. But it was just that it was mine, and I was entitled to take it from the other guy. V'kim damar dechatfa. And since he said that he did take it, havalei kegazlan, we treat him like a gazlan. That line is a little bit difficult to understand. What do you mean, havalei kegazlan? So the way the Rashbam understands is that since he was moda that he grabbed it, he's not able to take a shavua that he didn't grab it, because he was moda, since he was moda, he's like a gazlan in that was possible shavua. Meaning, just like a gazlan cannot take a shavua, a guy who says that, yes, I did grab it, cannot take a shavua that he did not grab it. But not that literally he's like a gazlan, because why would we assume he's like a gazlan? We have no edus that he's like a gazlan. We just have one aid that he grabbed it, and him saying that it was his own item. Tos Rid writes that it must be that the girsa is messed up over here, that there's no girsa that he's like a gazlan. The reason he cannot take a shavua that he didn't grab it is because he's moda that he did grab it, not because a gazlan can't take a shavua because he's chashul al shavua. This guy's not chashul al shavua. We have no reason to assume ill of this person. No, it's just that he can't take a shavua that goes against his very taina of what he says happened. The Rashba tries to be miyashiv the girsa that calls him a gazlan, that since he was moda that he grabbed it, it's as if he stole it in front of shnei edim, because after all hadas baldin kameya edim dani. So by saying that I grabbed it, it's as if we have two edim that he grabbed it. Now had we actually had two edim that he grabbed it, we'd be mechayiv him to pay, even though he's screaming that it was mine. We'd still be mechayiv him to pay because we would assume if we had two edim that he would taka be a gazlan. So therefore he's somewhat like a gazlan in that he's moda that he had taken it. So so why don't we say, so we're out of options, right? We cannot make him pay because we only have one witness. We cannot pater him because we do have one witness. And we cannot make him take a shavua because whatever shavua he would take, the shavua that he didn't grab it is against his very taina, because he admits that he did grab it. So why don't we just make him take a shavua that, yes, I grabbed it, but it was mine. So say that we don't have such a shavua, because when the Torah is, the idea of taking a shavua against Neid Echad is not just stam that we decided that whenever there's Neid Echad against you, you take a shavua. It's a din min haTorah that Neid Echad kenegdo, you have to take a shavua to be makchish eduso. That's the nature of the shavua of Eid Echad kenegdo, that when you have one eid testify against you, min haTorah, you're supposed to take a shavua against the eidus of that aid. So if he would have been able to take a shavua that he was never chotev, that would be against the eidus of that aid, and that would be a legitimate shavua. Pasuk says, lo yakum eid echad b'ish l'chol avonu l'chol chatas, and Chazal dashim from there, that yeah, lo yakum eid echad b'ish l'chol avonu l'chol chatas, he can't be mechayiv you mamon based on his aids, but he's kamu l'chayiv shavua. The eid echad that testifies against you will be enough to require you to take a shavua against his eidus. But to agree to his eidus and then take another unrelated shavua that, but it was mine, that's not a shavua that the Torah is ever going to require of a person. And therefore, that's not an option either. So the option, the Gemara mentions three options and rejects each of the three options. The fourth option of why not just have him take a Shavuot to what he says his story is not an option, because that's not the way an Eid Echol is mechayev a person a Shavuot. Tosfos raises the question, well, why don't I believe the guy with a Shavuot that he grabbed his own thing, Migo, that he could have tightened it, that he never grabbed anything at all, and he would have taken a Shavuot for that? Meaning, once I know that an Eid Echol Kenegda would be mechayev him a Shavuot, so had he come and said, the story never happened, so he'd be believed with a Shavuot. We'd let him take a Shavuot and we'd believe him. So why not be mechayev him a shvua right now that his current story is correct, and believe him with amigo that if he wanted to take a shvua that was false, he would have done the other shvua that was false, and then he for sure would have been believed. So Tosfos suggests, Tosfos quotes from Ben Tam, that since if he would have taina that he never grabbed it at all, he would have been chayev a shvua mido raisa. Now that he, whatever shvua we're going to make up for him, that oh didi chatvi, that when I grabbed his mind, that's not a shvua mido raisa, that's a shvua midrabanan. So that's not amigo. You can't say oh believe this guy with a shvua midrabanan migo that he could have been believed with the Shavua D'Oraisa. Shavua D'Oraisa is a much scarier Shavua. It's been the Kitas Chefetz. It's a much more serious ordeal to go through a Shavua D'Oraisa. So we can't believe him with a Migo that he could have taken a Shavua D'Oraisa. Then Tosfos quotes, in the name of the Ri, that the reason he's not Neman with his Migo is because he wouldn't be Meiz Panav to make a Taina and to swear in front of the aid to be Machish the aid that he wasn't Chataf. Meaning it's a Migo Da'aza. That, yeah, we have a concept called a Migo, but not if the other thing that he could have said would have taken such chutzpah, if it was a lie, to go in front of this aide and deny the very testimony that the aide is saying when he knows that it's true. There's no way he would have done such a thing. However, Tosfos doesn't like either one of these terutzim, because in Shavuos Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara says that Rav and Shmuel disagree with Rabbi Abba over here, and they hold that he's mechuyev v'shvuya sheini yachli shava, that someone's mechuyev v'shvuya sheini yachli shava is part. And the reason he's potter is because of the Migo. Meaning Rabbi Abba, we're soon going to see, is going to say, oh, okay, so we're out of options, therefore he's going to have to pay. But Rav and Shmuel disagree with Rabbi Abba. Rav and Shmuel say, oh, we're out of options, he cannot take a Shavua, so Mechuyev Shavua Ve'ein Yachli Shava is going to be potter, and he's not going to have to pay. Why is he not going to have to pay? Probably because he has a Migo that he could have been Makhish, what the aide said. He could have denied ever taking it, and then he would have been believed with a Shavua. So apparently, this Migo does work according to Rav and Shmuel. Meaning, Tosfos was bothered, why don't we just say a Migo and have him be believed with a Shavua? So Tosfos gave two answers why we couldn't possibly say a Migo. Tosfos says, none of those answers are good because we can possibly say amigo. Rav and Shmuel say amigo. So our answer as to why Rabbi Abba doesn't say amigo can't be too good of an answer. If it's too good of an answer, then you're going to have trouble explaining Rav and Shmuel. So both of the first two approaches of Tosfos are too good of an answer. So Tosfos quotes, instead of Rabbi Natam's Shita, that no, you're not going to have amigo and a Shavua D'Oraisa for a Shavua D'Rabbanan, nor the Ri's Shita, that it's amigo Da'aza, Tosfos quotes a Ri Vam, that according to Rabbi Abba, but we don't believe him with amigo because there's an Eid Echad and the Torah is Megala that you have to be Machish in Eid Echad or be Meshalim, and you're not Neman to come with some other Taina. Meaning, it's Gezeres HaKosov in Rabbi Abba's point of view, that if you have an Eid Echad Kenegdo, there are two options. Either you pay or you take a Shavua. We don't have an option of either you pay or you take a Shavua denying his Eidos. We don't have an option of taking another Shavua. So since there is a pasuk in the Torah that addresses this exact circumstance, and the Torah offers solution A or solution B, we cannot come in with solution C. We're not able to... sorry, I was getting a call there. We're not able to... put on Do Not Disturb. If you're wondering who calls at 6:30, it's my daughter. Okay, so we're not she's in Israel. So we're not able to come up with a shvua in that case. We can't make up our own situation of shvua. So that's the case of Natska de Rabbi Abba, and we're out of luck. We have no way to be able to address this situation. Now it's interesting, this idea that even the din of Naschas Rabbi Abba, that even though the Bala Nascha and the aide know for sure that this guy is a Gazlan, so what did the Gemara say? Meaning the guy who owned the silver says, I know that it belonged to me and I know this guy took it from me. I know that this guy's a Gazlan. The aide says, I'm pretty sure this guy's a Gazlan. I saw him go over to the other guy and grab it out of his hand. So the Gemara says, we would have been Mechayiv, the fellow of Shavua, if only he would have denied it, right? Meaning if he would have said that he never took it, we would have been Mechayiv and Shavua. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach has a simple Ha'ara. But we're going to be Mechayiv a guy Shavua that according to... How can you sue a guy knowing that he's going to take a Shavua L'Sheker? You're machshel him in an isser. You know that he's a Gazlan. You know that he's going to take a Shavua. How can you be Mashviya a guy that you know that he's going to be... Yeah? No, but we know he's going to take it. Well, but he's getting up to take the Shavua. So Rosh Hashanah says, how can you let such a guy take a Shavua? The other people should say, stop! Don't let him take a Shavua! Because they know that he's going to take a Shavua l'sheker. So Rosh Hashanah develops the Yisod based on this in Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, Simen Zayin Os Dalet. Rosh Hashanah says that you're allowed to go about your business and do things that are normal and that are right and that are correct, even though you know that someone else is going to make his own personal choice to do an Aveira. Very important Yisod. He says, let's say you're a Chola that needs to be examined on Shabbos. Chola Shein Bosakana needs to be examined on Shabbos. So you need to see a doctor. Now a doctor is allowed to look at you, but he's not allowed to take notes after he looks at you. But you know this doctor is going to take notes as soon as he looks at you. He's a Jewish person. He's definitely going to take notes. Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, Mutter. It's his problem that he's taking notes. Not your problem that he's taking notes. He's not allowed to do it, and you know that he's going to do it. He's going to make his own choice. You're doing what you're allowed to do, and he's going to make his own choice to do an Aveira. You're allowed to do that. A lot of times, a lot of times it's from doctors. A lot of from doctors just think that Shabbos doesn't apply to them, that there's no inyan of Shabbos. So it's very important that doctors should be familiar with what the actual dinim are in terms of how to navigate Shabbos properly. So his raya is from our sugya, that we could be mashpia someone, even though you know for sure he's going to be nishva l'sheker, and you're not choshesh that he's violating an isser on your account. So how can you do such a thing? So he says, we find, and he brings out the yisodos where we find similar things. So that's the yisod that Rav Shlomo Zalman develops. So anyway, so what does Rabbi Abba say to do in this case of Naskud Rabbi Abba? So Amar Lahu or Lei, depending on the gifts of Rabbi Abba, this guy is Chayiv a Shavua, he's not able to take a Shavua, but Kal Mechayiv Shavua Shein Yachal Yishava Mishalim, and anyone who's Chayiv a Shavua that he's not able to take a Shavua is going to ultimately be Mishalim. That din, that Mechayiv Shavua Shein Yachal Yishava Mishalim, the Gemara derives in Masechah Shavuos Daf Mem Zayin from the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Shavuos Hashem Tiyeh Bein Shneim Im Lo Shilach Yado B'Melech Hasrei Ehu. So from the phrase Bein Shneim, that it's a Shavua Bein Shneim, the Gemara darshins, oh, okay, a Shavua only exists between a Lova and a Malva, and not between their Yarshim, who are not involved in the original transaction. So what's the case where we need a Pasuk to tell me that the Shavua should not exist Bein HaYarshim? So it can't be where talking about Yorshim that are kofar bivadai b'miktas hatviya, where it's a moda b'miktas, where they say I'm moda b'miktas, but I'm kofar b'toras vadai that I don't owe the other miktas, because then there would be no distinction between the malva and the lova versus the Yorshim. It's a straight up moda b'miktas, so they should be chayav shvua. It must be talking about the case where the Yorshim don't know and they taina I'm moda to part of it, and on the rest of it they say ein yodea. What do you want from me? I'm just a yoresh. Ein yodea. I don't know about the rest of the money. So that's where the Torah says that the Torah patters the Yorshim from taking a Shavua or from paying. But if the tviya, if that same case happened between the original principles of the case, between the Lova and the Malva, and the Lova said, Eini Yodea, on part of the loan, so that's Eini Yachal Yishava, and Eini Yachal, I mean, it's a Moda B'miktas, who's Eini Yachal Yishava, because he's Eini Yodea on the rest. Normally the Moda B'miktas would have to take a Shavua that I don't owe the rest, but he's saying Eini Yodea on the rest. That would be a case where he'd be Chayav L'Shalim. So if it's a Yoresh that's saying, I'm Moda B'miktas, and I'm Eini Yodea, yodea on the rest, so then he cannot take a shvua, so he's going to be potter. But if it's the love himself who's modeh b'miksas and any yodea on the rest, he's going to be chayiv to pay. And the reason for the chilik between the yorshim versus the love himself is that the yorshim are not being negligent by saying any yodea. It's not their job to know. It's their father's business. So therefore, they're going to be potter. But the love himself that he said any yodea, why are you any yodea? You should be absolutely familiar with your own business dealings, and therefore he's going to be chayiv l'shalim if he cannot take the shvua. So Tosos in Dibra Maskel Havi over here says that over there the fathers don't have amigo because they're not tithing anything, and therefore you're going to be mishalim. But over here the guy who's chotev has amigo that he could have been machish the aid. So how do I know that even in this case you're going to say mitoch shen yochel l'shav mishalim? Meaning, given that background, that how do I know this whole principle that Rabbi Abba is telling me, that if you're chayiv a shvua and you're not able to take a shvua, you have to pay? Oh, it's from a case of a modeh b'miktzas, and he's not kofer in the other miktzas, he's any yodeya on the other miktzas. So that's why we say you have to be mishalim. Tos says it's a stretch to then carry that over to the case of Naskat Rabbi Abba, because over there you don't have amigo. The guy has no real taina, he's any yodeya. So that's why he's going to have to pay. Over here, he has amigo that if I wanted, I could have been machish the aid, and instead I'm not being machish the aid. I'm saying that in chatfi v'didi chatfi, so therefore maybe he doesn't have to pay in this case. So Tosas quotes in the name of the Ri that Rabbi Abba does not learn from the pasuk to be mechayev the guy who is unable to take a shvuah. He understands this from a svara that you have to pay if you're not machish the aid, even though you have ne'amanos with amigo. The drasha from the pasuk is not coming to be mechayev the love in a case where he's it's coming to be memayit the yorshim to tell me that the yorshim don't have to pay even though they're in yochel ishava. Meaning that with the way I characterize the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Mem Zayin, that we learn from that pasuk of Bein Shneim that the lov is going to have to pay since he cannot take a shvua. That's not really what we learn from there. That's a svara that if you would have been chayiv a shvua and you cannot take the shvua, it's a svara that you have to pay. The ikur limud over there is that yorshim don't have to pay in such a circumstance. That's the primary limud that we have from Shavuos Daf Mem Zayin based on the pasuk. So that is the case of Naskat Rabbi Abba. What does that have to do with us? Because remember, we were talking about a case of a guy says, what are you doing to my land? He says, oh, your land? I bought it from you and I have 3 years of chazakah already in this land. Oh yeah, bring Edim. I find one aid that says that I've been there for 3 years. So he said, oh, that's Naskat Rabbi Abba. Why is that Naskat Rabbi Abba? So they want to say, just like when it comes to, because what do you have? You have one aid that says that you've been eating the payros of this land for 3 years. If you don't have a legitimate chazakah, you now owe 3 years worth of payros. So the Chachamim wanted to say in front of Abaye that just like Naskat Rabbi Abba, the same is going to be true about paying for the achilas haperos that one aid says that you've eaten for the last 3 years. Meaning, had you had two aidim that said that you've been eating the payros for 3 years, so the karka would be yours. If you didn't have any aidim at all, you'd have to return the karka, but you don't owe any payros because no one knows that you've eaten anything. But now that you have an aid on the achila, but it's only an aid echad, you need to be machish that aid to say, no, I didn't eat the payros, but you can't be machish that aid because you're claiming that I did eat the payros because it's mine. So it's exactly like the Rabbi Abba case, that had we had, had there been two aidim, we would have known what to do. Had there been zero aidim, we would have known what to do. Had there been one aid and you were denying what the aid said, we would have known what to do. Problem is, there's one aid saying you were there for 3 years. You're saying, yeah, I was, because it's mine. So that's exactly like the case of Naskat Rabbi Abba. So we should say, mitoch shein yochel ishava, that he should be mishalim. So Amar lo Abaye said back to the Chum, me dummy, nah, you can't compare the case of Naskat Rabbi Abba to this case. Hasam sada lo rui kasi. Over there, the aid that's being made on the grabbing of the Naska is coming to testify against this guy. You grabbed this piece of silver. They're testifying against him. And had there been a second aid verifying that this is in fact what happened, he'd be chayiv to pay. He'd be chayiv to give back that nascha. But hacha over here, l'siyoy ka'asi, this aid was ostensibly here to help him. Meaning this aid was, he's claiming that it's his land and he has a chazaka. This aid was here to verify that claim that he has a chazaka. And therefore, had you had just one more aid saying the same exact thing, had another aid said that same thing, we would have said, oh, he has a chazaka, he gets to keep it. That aid was coming to help him. So he would have been muksuk in the karka, and then he would not have to pay for the achilas haperos, because the karka would be muksuk biado. But since it's only one aid, so we cannot keep the karka muksuk biado, and therefore he has to return the karka. As far as the achilas haperos, you're not going to make him pay the peros because of the existence of an aid that came to help him. That's how the Rush reads our Gemara. That had there been zero aidim, he would not have to pay the peros. He just has to give the land back, because he could say that I never ate any peros. So had there been zero aidim, he wouldn't have to pay the peros. He would just give the land back. Now that he has one aid that's coming to his defense, it's coming to help him, that aid is going to hurt him. He's going to be mechayiv in the peros. That doesn't make any sense. The Ritva says the chilek a little differently, that an aid is only mechayev a shvua when shnei edim would have been mechayev mamam. Meaning the whole idea of taking a shvua and ein yachol shav meshalim is an aid echad kenegdo, is when had there been two edim, you would have been chayev mamam. Over here, had there been two edim, he would have been chayev nothing. He would have won. So in such a case, you don't say that an aid echad is going to be mechayev a shvua, and mimela it's not going to be mechayev him to pay. So that's not comparable to the case of Naschad Rabbi Abba. Eli idam yaha to Rabbi Abba, if you want to compare something to the case of Naschad Rabbi Abba, I'll give you, and you want to compare it to a case of someone taking karka and being in someone else's karka, I'll give you a case you can compare it to. L'chad tzada ul'tarti shnei ul'peri. To a case that the machzik didn't have aidim, that he was machzik in the karka for 3 years, one aid said that he was ochel perus for 2 years. So then the din is that he's got to give the karka back to the bailim. The achilas haperos, if there weren't any aidim at all, he would just to take a shvua that it was whatever he was ochel was his own, and he'd be potter and be neman with amigo that he could have said that he didn't eat anything at all. And if there would have been two aidim being made that he ate the peros, he'd be chayiv to pay. So when one aid comes, that's like the din of Rabbi Abba, because he cannot take a shvua to be machish that one aid that he didn't eat the peros, because he's claiming, yes, I did eat the peros because I ate the peros for 3 years because it's my karka. So he cannot be machish the one aid. He's moda on the achila, and that aid is working against him, because that aid is not saying that he was there for 3 years. That aid is saying that he was there for 2 years. So if it's an aid working against him, that's exactly like the case of Naschad Rabbi Abba. So that's the end of the sugya of Naschad Rabbi Abba. Now, from the discussion in our Gemara, had you not known any better, you would assume we must paskin like Rabbi Abba. That's because we only even quote the shita of Rabbi Abba in our Gemara, and we're trying to figure out, oh, how Abaye learns like a Naschad Rabbi Abba, and what he compares to Naschad Rabbi Abba. So from it would sound like the halacha is like Rabbi Abba. And even though Rav and Shmuel in Shavuos Taf Mem Zayin disagree with Rabbi Abba, and they hold that if he cannot take a shvua, chazru shvul the makoma, meaning we're not done that chiyuv shvua on either one of them, and therefore hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. But so he's going to be potter, he's not going to have to pay. But the maskana of the sugyas must be that the halacha is not like Rav and Shmuel, and that's what both the Rashbam and the Tos point out. That even though Rav and Shmuel, had you only learned Shavuos Taf Mem Zayin, you might have gotten the impression that we pass like Rav and Shmuel, because Rav and Shmuel seem to be more powerful than Rabbi Abba. But Basra Lama Dalet is very clear that we paskin like Rabbi Abba, so we paskin against the Shita, the Shitos of Rav and Shmuel. Okay, so that's Amud Aleph. So now we move on to the next case. So there's something, the Chassam Sofer points out, there's something a little bit out of order in the next two sugyas, meaning there is a din called Kol De'olam Gavar. The sugya we're about to read presumes the din of Kol De'olam Gavar and says, before we do that, is there something else we can do? Right? I mean, before we do Kol De'olam Gavar, when we know the din should be Kol De'olam Gavar, if the request of one of the Bali Din is to hold off on our Kol De'olam Gavar just a bit, will we honor that request? So you should have first taught me the din of Kol De'olam Gavar, and then taught me what happens if one of the Bali Din says, wait, not yet, give me a little bit of time. So the Chassam Sofer says it's out of order. He's not sure why it's out of order. The Gemara should have mentioned Kol De'olam Gavar first, but just knowing that, you know, that's what we're going into right now, meaning we're going into the sugya with the assumption that there are some cases where there are no rayas, there's no clear cut halacha, and therefore we just say whoever's stronger is going to win. So who arba? There was a boat, that two people were arguing over the ownership of it. Hai amar didihi. One guy says it's mine. Hai amar didihi. The other one says no, it's mine. Also chad minay lebeidino. One of them came to Beis Din. Va'amar, he says to the dayanim, tivsua admaisina sahadi didihu. Do me a favor, just hold on to it. We would like the Beis Din. I would like that the Beis Din should be toface it, that they should grab it, not do kol d'olam gavar until I'm able to go find myself edim. I'm confident that if I do more research, I'm going to ask around. I'll take out ads in the paper, whatever. I'll social media. I'll find people to be made for me. I just need more time, and I'm nervous that if you don't do that, we're going to do a kol d'olam gavar right now. You know, if you do a kol d'olam gavar, and then a year later a guy comes and he has edim that it says that it's his, so we'll undo the kol d'olam gavar. But he's afraid. He doesn't want to do that because he's afraid that right now we're going to fight it out. He's going to win, and he's going to sell it. And if he sells it, then it's going to be a whole to-do to try to get it back once he sells it. Meaning, that's what the Rashbam points out. It's not that I'm worried that he's going to take it, because his tfisa is not going to be a chazaka, because everyone knows that the circumstances of his tfisa were a case of suffik, where it was called Dalim Gavar. So that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried that he's going to go and he's going to sell it. So the Akronim explain that, and so why would it be a problem if he sells it? So what? So he sells it. But then you'll bring a raya that he had no right to sell it because it was never his. You'll get it right back. So the Acharim explained, no, he doesn't want to be somich on the ability to get it back from a lokeach with a taina that the guy who sold it to that lokeach had it shalokadin, because even if he's able to bring Aden that it's his, the kona can taina that you sold it to me and be neman because it was tachas yado. I mean, I don't know who he's going to sell it to. The guy he sells it to may not be so honest about it either. So the guy who sells it to may say, I didn't buy it from him, I bought it from you. And then what am I going to say? I'm not going to have any raya that he didn't buy it from me, and he's going to be mukhsuk in it. So there's not going to be any, it's just going to put me in a bad spot. Alternatively, the Acharim say, maybe he's worried that even if he brings Edim, he's going to have to pay the kona, midin takona sashuk, that, I don't know, maybe Chazal are going to institute something, that Nebuch, this poor kona, went and he bought something that he thought he had a right to buy, and takona sashuk, I'm going to have to reimburse him. So that's why he's not comfortable with just doing kol d'olam gavar. So he asks Beis Din to hold on to it. So tafsina no lo tafsina. So the Gemara wants to know, does Beis Din honor that request or not? So machlokas, Rav Huna amar tafsinan, Rav Yehuda amar lo tafsinan. Rav Huna says that Beis Din should do its fisa, because if the guy doesn't bring a raya, so then they'll release it, and no harm will have been done. Meaning, what's the big deal? Right now they'll grab it, and if the guy is not able to bring a raya, so we'll be back to where we are now, which is perfectly fine. The Rashbam writes, because this Rav Huna is assuming that once Beis Din tofes it, they're allowed to release it. They're allowed to, even without a clear path of who's correct and who's not correct, they're allowed to then release it and say kol d'olam gavar. That's what Rav Huna's assuming. And Rav Yehuda says lo tafsinan, because once Beis Din's going to be tofes it, they're never going to be able to be motzi it. That's how the Rashbam understands. That once Beis Din holds it, that's it. They can't release it anymore. They're not allowed to just, if they have it, they can't just release it to nobody and say kol d'olam gavar. You can only say kol d'olam gavar if Beis Din doesn't have it yet. But if Beis Din has it, they have a responsibility. The Achronim compare it to a Shomer Aveda, right? That if you come across an Aveda and you know that you're choshesh that maybe the person left it here and he dafka wanted it there, so don't pick it up because the guy might be coming back for it. Let's say you already picked it up. Well, now you got a problem. Now you have a real chiyuv to make sure that you give it back to the rightful owner, and that you can't just put it back. Now you have to really make sure you give it to the rightful owner. So that's what Yehuda says. We're low tafsinan, and we're not going to be toe-face from this guy. So now the Gemara brings the hemshich of this story that happened. So again, they were fighting over a boat. Each one claimed that they are the rightful owner of the boat, and one of the Bali Din said, do me a favor, hang on to this boat. Ask the Beis Din to please hang on to this boat. So Beis Din was taka toe-face the Svina. Why were they tofes the Svina? So Rashbam says two possibilities. Either they held like Rav Huna, that they're allowed to be tofes the Svina, or that they're supposed to honor the request, Or both Balei Din requested that they be Tofis the Sfina. So if both Balei Din requested, so then you could do that. Also, just by the way, the Rabbeinu Yonason says, how long can the guy, I mean, let's assume like Rav Huna. The guy says, I want Beis Din to hold onto the boat because I think I could bring a Raya. It's been 25 years. How long are you? So he says, no, 30 days. 30 days is all we give him to bring a Raya. Once 30 days pass, there's got to be a limit on how, you know, Beis Din to be paying storage fees on the, on the boat or whatever. I don't know how the storage fees would work, but whatever, for it to be Beis Din's problem. So anyway, Azav Loashkech Sadi. So Beis Din took it, and the guy, sure enough, was not able to find any witnesses. Samluhu, so he said to Beis Din, Afkua, okay, so now release the boat and we'll go back to Kaldolam Gavhar. The Kaldolam Gavhar will do what we were supposed to do in the first place, that it's going to be Kaldolam Gavhar. Mafkinan lo mafkinan. Once Beis Din was Tofes, can they now release it or not? So Rav Yehuda Amar lo mafkinan. Rav Yehuda says, absolutely not. Once Beis Din is holding on to Mammon, Beis Din is not allowed to release that Mammon unless they know exactly who they are releasing that Mammon to and that it's the rightful owner. Rav Papa Amar mafkinan. Rav Papa says, yes, they can release it. They may release it. Vehilchus al lo tafsinan. The halach is they never should have been Tofes it in the first place, but ve'echad tafas. And if they are Tofes it, lo mafkinan. Now they have an achrayus toward it. Now they have a responsibility, and they cannot be. They cannot release it. Now the way the Rashbam explains this whole sugya, the way we just explained it, is that the two machlokos are intertwined with each other. Meaning, the only reason Rav Huna says tafsinan is because you don't lose anything. You'll be able to be mafkinan afterwards. You'll be able to be motzian afterwards. You'll be able to let it go afterwards. And the reason Rav Yehuda says lo tafsinan is don't do this because if you do this, you're not going to be able to let go of it afterwards. The Ri is quoted in Tosas and Dimra Maskel Rav, who disagrees. Says you can't say that these two machlokas are the same machlokas because they're not even the same amoraim that argue in the two machlokas. So he says that the basis for Rav Huna that you're Tofes is because we believe him that he's actually going to bring Edim, meaning we think that he has a lead and he's going to bring Edim. And Rav Yehuda says lo tafsinan because we're choshesh that maybe he won't find Edim and we're never going to know how to be mevarer who the Bailim is and who to return it to. So we're just going to say Kaldolam Gavhar. Why would we get involved in something that doesn't have a clear path toward resolution? So we're just going to say Kaldolam Gavhar. Rabbeinu Yonah explains that only Rabbi Yehuda says in his shita about Tfisa, Lefi Shitaso, about Hotza'a, that we shouldn't be Tofes because maybe there's no substance to what he's saying, that he's going to bring Edim, and we're going to be and because you can't be Motziit, that we lost our chance for called Olam Gavhar, whereas Rav Huna holds that we're Tofes because even after the Tfisa, we could be Motzi. We could still be Motziit. But since we're not Choshesh for the bittul of the din of called Olam Gavhar, we'll be able to do called Olam Gavhar later on. So what are we worried about losing out on called Olam Gavhar? Called Olam Gavhar is not the world's greatest solution to begin with. We don't even know if the guy that wins with called Olam Gavhar is the rightful owner. So there's no great risk in losing out on Kaldiolam Gavhar. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah understands. Now let's see the din of Kaldiolam Gavhar. Like we said, it's out of order. Ze Omer Shalavosai. One guy says, this boat or this karka belongs to my forefathers. Ze Omer Shalavosai, my father. And Ze Omer Shalavosai. And this one says, no, it belonged to my father. And neither of them is Muchsak, and neither of them has a real Raya. Or if the Rambam points out, or if both of them have Edim, you know, that it's theirs. Either neither of them have a Raya, or they both have the same Raya, that it's theirs. So Rav Nachman called Olam Gvar. So Rav Nachman says that whoever is stronger, either Bekoach or Berayos, that's the way the Rishon quotes, that's the way the Rashbam quotes it, either Bekoach or Berayos, the Achronim point out, what do you mean Berayos? If there were Rayos, then this whole thing would have been resolved. No, it means not such great Rayos. It means not the kinds of Rayos that Beis Din would normally be comfortable with in terms of resolving such a case. So that's going to be the person that wins the case. Now there is a fundamental machlokas about how Kol Da'olam Gvar works. The Rashbam writes that Kol Da'olam Gvar is the way the Rashbam understands it is that we don't know who it belongs to. We can't be mevarid. So Beis Din is not going to get involved in this. They're just going to leave it there, and whoever takes it is going to take it, and they're not going to get involved any further. So the way Rav Elchanan explains the Rashbam, Rav Elchanan knows Kufnun Beis and Kovit Shurim says that Kol Da'olam Gvar is not a psak din; it's a siluk. It's Beis Din saying we just can't handle this. This is beyond our capacity to deal with, and therefore we're begging off of this case. And therefore, Tosfos Bava Metzia writes, if one guy grabs it today, and then the other one beats him up tomorrow, and then the other one finds some friends to beat up the other guy and take it back the next, it can go back and forth. Beis Din is just not getting involved. We're not getting involved in this boat. However, the Rush over here, as well as in Masechta Bava Metzia, says that the din of Kol Dam Gvar is that the Chachamim are Somech, that whoever is the rightful owner is going to be Moser Nefesh a little more to bring Rayas, to fight it out, to make sure that he ends up winning the case, that he ends up on top. So that's what Rav Chanan points out. Apparently, according to the Rush, Kol Dam Gvar is not a siluk, it's a psak that they're paskening, that probably the guy who's stronger is going to be the one who's going to win. So the Rush explains that it's a one-time deal, that it's they have it out once, and whoever wins that one time, now it's his. And you can't keep going back and forth. If it were a siluk, Beis Din just says, we're not doing it, so let them fight it out every single day. But it's a psak, so they can't fight it out every single day. So the Chassam Sofer writes, and others also write, that this machlokes of Yudin Rav Papa, if mafkinon or lo mafkinon, it might be the same machlokes between the Rashbam and the Rash about how Kol Dolem Gvar works. That Rav Papa holds that Kol Dolem Gvar is a mishpat, it's a din, and therefore Beis Din could be motzi the mamon from the Rishus in order to do Kol Dolem Gvar, because this is a din. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, Kol Dolem Gvar is a siluk. Beis Din can't be misalik, they already have it. If you have it, and you're holding on to the boat, you can't be misalik anymore. It's too late to be misalik. So that could be the very same machlokas. Okay, Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis.